The Renamo were so occupied that not one of them even glanced at Sean's white face as they scurried to take up their positions. Now the whistle of approaching rotors was punctuated by the crackle and rap of ground fire. Sean did not even look around. Ahead he saw the glint of barbed wire. The women's stockade was also well camouflaged under brush and netting, and it too seemed deserted by the female wardens.
"Claudia!" he shouted as he came up to the fence and gripped the wire. "Where are you?"
"Here, Sean, here!" she yelled back. There were two huts inside the stockade wire. The doors were locked and there were no windows. Claudia's voice came from the nearest building and was almost drowned out by the thunder of engines, the shriek of rotors, and the roar of ground fire. "Give me a boost," Sean ordered, and backed away from the wire. The fence was 7 feet high, he judged. Job and Adan ran forward and crouched below it. Sean sprinted straight at them, and as he leapt up, he drove his feet into the cupped hands they'd formed for him with interlocking fingers. In unison, they bobbed up and flung their arms high, flipping Sean forward and over. He cleared the wire easily, somersaulted in the air and landed on his feet. He cushioned the shock, tumbling like a paratrooper, and rolled smoothly back onto his feet, using his momentum to hurl himself forward.
"Clear the door!"
he yelled at Claudia, as he built up speed and crashed into the crude, hand-hewn panel. It was too solid and heavy to shatter under the drive of his shoulder, but the hinges ripped clean out of the daubed wall and crashed inwards in a cloud of dust and flying fragments of dried mud. Claudia was crouched against the far wall, but as he burst into the hut behind the falling door panel, she rushed forward to meet him. He caught her in his arms, but when she tried to kiss him, he whirled her round by one arm and ran with her to the door.
"What's happening?" she gasped.
"We're making a break."
As they ran out into the sunlight again, he saw that Job and Adan had a hold on the bottom strand of the fence. With all the strength of their arms and legs, they were dragging it upwards, opening a narrow gap between the wire and the sun-baked earth. Sean stooped to the same strand with the inside, settled his grip between the clusters of spikes, and he heaved upwards. Under the combined strength of the three of them, the ground at the foot of the nearest fence pole cracked and gave. The pole was lifted a few inches out of the hole in which it was planted, and the strand of wire came up in their hands.
"Down on your belly," Sean grunted at Claudia. "Get under it."
She was lean and nimble as a ferret, and the barbs cleared her back with inches to spare as she wriggled through.
"Hold it,"
Sean barked at Job, and they strained up, black muscles knotting, faces contorted with the effort. Sean dropped flat and pushed himself under the wire. Halfway through, he felt one of the steel spikes snag in his flesh and stop him dead.
"Pull me through," he ordered.
And while Dadan continued to hold up the wire, Job stooped and they linked hands in a fireman's grip.
"Pull,"
Sean ordered, and Job heaved. Sean felt his flesh tear and the blood spurt down his back. Then he was free. As he rolled to his feet, Claudia gasped,
"You're back!"
But he seized her arm again and demanded of Job,
"Which way?"
He knew that Job would have studied the camp during the days he had been imprisoned here. He could rely on his judgment.
"The river,"
Job responded immediately.
"If we can float down, clear of the camp." "Lead the way,"
Sean ordered, and he had to shout to make himself heard. All around them rose the stutter of automatic small-arms fire, the deeper clatter of heavy machine guns sounding like a stick drawn sharply across a sheet of corrugated iron. And then even that din was drowned out by a thunder like the Victoria Falls in flood. Sean knew exactly what it was, although he had never heard it before. The sound of the Gatling-type, multi-barreled cannon mounted in the nose of a Hind helicopter, firing 12.7mm bullets like the jet of a fire hose. He felt Claudia falter beside him at the gut-melting terror of that sound, and he jerked her arm.
"Come on,"
he snarled at her.
"Run!"
She was still limping slightly from her injured knee ligament as they followed Job and Adan down towards the river. Though they were still under the spread of branches of the forest, just ahead of them was open ground. A small party of Renamo were doubling across this opening, coming up the track towards them, 8 or 9 men in Indian file, and each of them carried an RPG mobile rocket launcher. As they ran, their faces were turned up towards the sky, seeking a target for their rockets. The detachment of rocketeers was still 200 metres from them, when suddenly the earth around them erupted. Sean had never, in all his war experience, seen anything like it. The ground dissolved, seemed to turn to a liquid that boiled into a fog of dust under the jet of 12.7mm cannon shells. Along a wide swathe of cannon fire, all was destroyed. Even the trees disappeared in a whirlwind of wood fragments and shredded leaves. Only the scattered stumps still stood as the storm of fire passed on. The ground was left like the furrows of a freshly ploughed field, and on it was scattered the remains of the party of RPG rocket men. They were hacked and minced as though they had been fed through the cogs of some fearsome machinery. Sean still had a grip on Claudia's arm, and he pulled her down into the grass beside the track, just as a shadow swept over them. However, the canopy of branches overhead must have screened them from the eyes of the gunner in the helicopter. Job and Adan had also dived for cover in the grass verge beside the path and avoided detection. The hind cruised overhead, barely 50 feet above the tops of the trees, and abruptly they had a full view of the machine as it crossed over the open ground, where the torn corpses of the rocket men lay scattered. Sean felt a physical shock at the sight of it. He'd not expected it to be so large and so grotesquely ugly. It was 50 feet long. The Russians themselves called it Sturmovich, the humpback. It was a deformed monster, aberrant and ungainly. The green and brown splotches of tropical camouflage gave it the appearance of disease and leprous decay. The bulging double canopies of armoured glass looked like malevolent eyes, and so fierce was their gaze that Sean instinctively flattened himself in the grass and flung a protective arm over Claudia's back. Below the gross body of the gunship hung an assembly of rocket pods, and as they stared at it in awe, the machine hovered and rotated on its own axis, lowered its blunt, unlovely nose, and fired a spread of rockets. They launched with fiery sibilance on plumes of white smoke, streaking across the river and bursting on the ants' nests of sand-bagged bunkers in fountains of flame and smoke and dust. The noise was deafening, and the shrill whine of the gunship's rotors was like an awl screwing into their eardrums. Claudia covered both her ears and sobbed, "Oh, God, oh, God!" The hind revolved slowly, seeking fresh targets, and again they cowered away from it. It moved away from them, hunting along the bank of the river. The Gatling cannon in its remotely controlled turret in the nose fired blasts of solid metal into the forest, destroying all in its path. "Let's go!" Sean shouted above the uproar and dragged Claudia to her feet. Job and Adan ran ahead of them, and the earth ploughed by the gunship's cannon was soft and spongy under their feet. As they passed the dead men, Job stooped without breaking his run and snatched up one of the undamaged RPG launchers. At the next stride, he stooped again and grabbed a fiberglass backpack that contained 3 of the finned projectiles for the RPG, and then went bounding away, on towards the river bank. With her injured knee, Claudia couldn't match that pace, and even with Sean pulling her along, they fell almost 100 yards behind. Job and Adan reached the river bank. It was steep and rocky, fractured cliffs of water-polished black stone. A gallery of tall, riverine trees spread their branches out over the swiftly flowing apple-green waters. Job looked back at them anxiously, for they were still out in the open. His face contorted as he screamed a warning and dropped the fiberglass pack at his feet and swung the short, squat barrel of the RPG up to his shoulder, pointing it at the sky above Sean's head. Sean did not look up. He knew there was no time for that. He hadn't isolated the shrieking rotors of the second incoming hind from the deafening uproar caused by the first machine, but now the din was escalating to the point of pain. Running beside them was a narrow donga, eroded by the storm waters of the rainy season, but now dry and sheer-sided. Sean swept Claudia off her feet and jumped with her in his arms. The earthen gully was 6 feet deep, and they hit the bottom with an impact that clashed Sean's teeth together in his jaws, just as the lip of the gully dissolved under a jet of cannon fire. The earth on which they lay shuddered like a live thing beneath them, as though there were insects being shaken from the flanks of a gigantic horse. Earth, ripped from the lip of the gully by the sheets of cannon fire, fell on them in clouds, heavy clods raining on their backs, knocking the breath out of them, dust choking them, burying them alive. Claudia screamed and tried to fight herself out from under the layer of dust and dry earth, but Sean held her down. "Lie still," he hissed at her. "Don't move, you silly dilly bird." The hind swiveled and cruised back, now directly over the gully, searching for them. The gunner traversing the thick stack of multi-barrels of the Gatling cannon in its remote turret. Sean turned his head slightly, looking up from the corner of one eye. His vision was obscured by dust, but as it cleared, he saw the great splotched nose of the hind hanging in the air only 50 feet directly overhead. The gunner must have picked out their white skins, which made them targets of preference. Only the thin layer of fresh earth protected them from his scrutiny through the gun sight of his cannon. "Hit him, Job," Sean pleaded aloud. "Hit the bastard!" On the cliff, above the river, Job dropped on one knee. The RPG-7 was one of his favourite weapons. The huge gunship was hovering over the gully only 50 yards ahead. He aimed 12 inches below the edge of the pilot's canopy. The RPG was highly inaccurate, and even at point-blank range he gave himself latitude should the missile fly off track. He held the crosswire steady for a beat of his pumping heart and then pressed the trigger. The exhaust of white smoke blew back over his shoulder and the rocket streaked away, flying fair and true, to strike only inches higher than he had aimed on the rim, where the armoured glass canopy joined the camouflaged metal fuselage. The rocket burst with a force which would blow the engine block out of a Mack truck or burst the boiler of a railway locomotive. For an instant, the front of the hind was obliterated by flame and smoke, and Job whooped triumphantly, jumping to his feet, expecting the hideous monster to crash out of the sky in a sheet of its own smoke and fire. Instead, the huge helicopter jumped higher, as though the pilot had flinched at the rocket burst close beside him. But when the smoke blew away, Job realized with disbelief that the fuselage was unscathed. There was only a sooty black smear on the painted metal to mark the spot where the rocket had struck. As he stared, the ugly nose of the hind swiveled towards him, and the many-eyed muzzles of the cannon sought him out. Job hurled the RPG launcher away and jumped out from the cliff top, dropping 20 feet to hit the water, just as the cannon tore the great branches from the tree under which he had stood. Cannon fire chewed through the trunk as cleanly as a lumberjack's cross-saw, and the whole tree leaned outwards and then toppled down the cliff and hit the surface of the river in a cloud of spray. The hind pulled away, lifting and banking, cruising on down the river bank. Unharmed by the rocket hit, and as deadly as before, it sought its next target. Sean crawled to his knees, coughing and gasping. "Are you all right?" he croaked. But for a moment Claudia couldn't answer him. Her eyes were blinded with sand, and her tears cut wet runnels through the dust that caked her cheeks. "We've got to get into the water." Sean pulled her to her feet and half-pushed, half-pulled her up the side of the gully. They ran together to the top of the cliff and looked down. The felled tree was floating away on the current, a huge raft of leafy branches. "Jump!" Sean ordered, and Claudia did not hesitate. She threw herself far out and dropped away to strike the water feet first. Sean followed while she was still in the air. He surfaced with Claudia's head bobbing beside him. The dust was washed off her face and her hair was slicked over her eyes, shiny with streaming water. Together, they struck out for the floating mass of branches and leaves. She was a strong swimmer, and even with boots on her feet and fully dressed, she kicked out powerfully and dragged herself through the water with a full overarm crawl.